Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Bar West here in Richmond. Where in the world is AWOD on the road? North, south, east. Find me at Bar West. And tomorrow, they've got a Down and Derby happy hour from 3 to 6:30 p.m. May 3rd, 2025. Join us at Bar West for Southern-inspired happy hour, complete with themed cocktails and plenty of charm to celebrate the Kentucky Derby. It's 1 p.m. here on AWOD Radio, which means it's time for the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready for some...
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
All right, so I'm going to throw a few figures at you, and Commanders fans here in Richmond, you could chime in, 833-804-0910. What improvements do you expect Washington to make statistically in the 2025 regular season, and where will they maybe take a step back next season? They've already made a ton of additions. We've talked about it, but I'll mention again, Deebo Samuel, Laremy Tunsil on offense, on defense, Will Harris, Javon Kinlaw, Dietrich Wise. Through the draft, Connerly, Amos, Lane, Kane Medrano, Ja'Cory, Kroskit, Merritt. So, in my mind, I think they've upgraded probably six positions. All right, we broke that down earlier this week. I think that there's three positions that will be upgraded on the offensive line. Left tackle is better. Left guard is better. Right tackle is now better. I think that wide receiver two is much better with Deebo Samuel. And then defensively, you think Trey Amos should be an improvement there at corner over what we started last year of Benjamin St. Juice and Emmanuel Forbes. Could Will Harris be an improvement, or maybe he's just the same as Jeremy Chinn? And then can Jalen Lane be an improvement at wide receiver three and punt return and kick return? So to me, that's six improvements right there, and it could be more as things play out. So the 2024 Washington Commanders, 12-5, second place in the NFC East, and they lose week one, and they go on that big four-game win streak, and we talked about this with Sam Cosmi, how they developed some chemistry in that week three game, Monday Night Football against the Bengals. Nobody expects them to win. Then they go straight from Cincinnati to Arizona, and they double down. I mean, they scored 70 points in that two-game stretch, and then came back home and put 34 on the Cleveland Browns, and you're thinking, well, maybe the Commanders have peaked too early. A loss to the Ravens, they bounce back with Marcus Mariota and score 40 on the Panthers. Win with a Hail Mary over the Bears, go to New York, Jaden's feeling good, and they defeat the Giants. Three losses in a row, but a bounce back against the Titans with the offense exploding for 42 points, and that's when they really got going in terms of winning games in the clutch. 2019 clutch win over the Saints. Comeback win over the Eagles with the touchdown to Crowder at the end, 36-33. Falcons last second win, Cowboys last play victory for Marcus Mariota. And it continued into the postseason, winning late against the Bucs, blowing out the Lions before having the season ended to Saquon Barkley and the Philadelphia Eagles. But as I told you guys, as much as Saquon destroyed us in that game, especially with just that first snap, taking the home run ball, and our last memory of, unfortunately, of Dante Fowler Jr. as a Commander is him trying to spin out of that and falling down, tripping feet with Bobby Wagner. And unfortunately, our last view of Jeremy Chinn in a Commander's uniform was him not being able to tackle Saquon Barkley, failing to bring him down, and Barkley going off and, going all the way for the Eagles in that game. And I just felt like as much as Saquon killed us there, it was the consistent third down conversions to A.J. Brown, the deep pass to Devontae Smith, the underneath stuff to Dallas Goedert. I felt like the secondary was a big issue, and so that's why I love the Amos pick. So let's get to the improvements in terms of statistics, but we'll start with the record of 12-5. For me, 10 wins is the floor. Anything below 10 wins is a failure. It's a massive step back. I don't care if it's 9-8 and that even wins the division. No, you got to get double-digit wins again and build off of the success of this past season. I know the schedule is going to be harder, but Jaden should be better. He should have more of an understanding of Cliff Kingsbury's offense. Dan Quinn's defense should be improved. And, oh, yeah, yet another offseason to improve the roster. So in terms of the record, I'm looking for 10 at the bottom. I'd like them to get back to 12 or 13. 14, I think, would be the ceiling that they could reach this season. Passing yards, 215.6 points yards per game, which is 17th in the National Football League. And I feel like you look at that number and you see, wow, Jaden threw 25 touchdowns, 3,500 yards. How is it only 215 passing yards per game? Well, that's because they had so much through the ground, right? The ground attack. And so I think with Jaden's passing yards here, you want him to get up to like 250 passing yards per game. I want a significant improvement in the passing stats for the 2025 Washington Commanders. I think we do need to take that step forward in the passing game. Hopefully that's the addition of Deebo Samuel. Maybe some sneaky play from Jalen Lane, who I think can do a lot of the things that De'Ami Brown did well for the Commanders last season. Luke McCaffrey developing, Noah Brown staying healthy. Passing yards, can they go up from 17th to maybe top 10 and get over 250 passing yards per game? Rushing yards, 154. That was third in the National Football League, and I think that takes a small step back because you want Jaden to run less. He nearly was a 1,000 yards runner. Six touchdowns, 891 yards. And I want less quarterback design runs for Jaden Daniels moving forward. I don't want him taking those hits around the goal line. I think he is much more likely to stay healthy on some of these scramble plays where he makes a guy miss and then he takes off for 5 yards, gets out of bounds, or he slides, or he gets down without taking a big hit. But the one play that he got hurt this year was a designed run, and it was a fluke play because he took off up the middle untouched for 35 yards, and then the Panthers took him down from behind, and that's where he crushed his rib on that play. And let's be honest, he wasn't the same for the next 5 weeks. He just wasn't. He missed practice time because of the injury. That messed with his timing. I don't know how much the injury affected his throws and his accuracy, but he wasn't the same. And so I think rushing yards, you know, passing yards, I want that to make a massive improvement. Rushing yards, I'm okay with taking a small step back with Jaden's yards, and then maybe you get an improvement in terms of B-Rob Eckler and Deebo Samuel with better offensive line play. Points for 28.5 points per game. I mean, I'd love that again. It feels like for years I've watched this team and it's like, man, if we score 21, I'm happy. If we score 24, I'm thrilled. We were scoring nearly 29 points per game last season and had at least three 40-point games and probably six in which we were over 35. So the offense was just fantastic. And so points for, I want that to stay the same. Points against, that's where we need a big improvement there. 23 points per game scored on the Commanders was 18th in the National Football League. The yards that they gave up led to Washington's defense being ranked 30th out of 32 teams in the National Football League. So that's the two biggest improvements I want to see. Jaden, passing yards, defense, points against lowered. Let's get that to like 21. I think you can make that improvement. That's just one drive per game where the other team doesn't get into field goal range. And I don't think that that's stopping the run as much as it is stopping the explosive plays in the air in the passing game and getting off the field on third down. Now, I understand that part of the reason the team was giving up so many points last year was they were giving up too many 6 and 7 yard runs on first down. So you bolstered the defensive line with Dietrich Wise, with Javon Kinlaw. They got heavier on the offensive and defensive line to hopefully do a better job of controlling the line of scrimmage. But I'm just asking for one drive per game where the opposing team doesn't get past midfield and get in a field goal range. And I think the points against there could dropped significantly from 23, maybe down to 20 or 21. And that's how Washington, I think, could have another successful season. But in terms of where I want to see them improve statistically, it is passing yards per game. It is points against per game. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. We mentioned that when you talk about the 2025 draft class, you have to throw in there the names Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil, because the only reason they end up in Washington was us partially mortgaging our future for those picks. So you make those trades, you bring in those guys, they're part of this draft class that does need to play major minutes. I mean, when we talk about Connerly, Amos, and Jalen Lane, those three guys have to be able to be on the field in January. And there's a lot of pressure on Trey Amos in my mind here. He's going to be behind Mikey Sainristil. You'll probably see he'll be behind Marshon Lattimore. You'll probably see Sainristil move to the inside. This is a second-round pick rookie who's going to have to go against some of the best receivers in football more often than not. And so there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. I think we're all going to be watching him kind of how we watched Emmanuel Forbes that first training camp. There was a lot of excitement when he was drafted, and then we saw him in training camp, and he had these stick-figure legs, and he was getting burnt deep, and just like, man, I got a bad feeling about this. I don't want that feeling about Trey Amos. I want to see him be a star of training camp and preseason so the fan base is fired up to see him on the outside week one for the Washington Commanders. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Where in the world is AWOD on the road today? North, south, east, live from Bar West here in Richmond, Virginia. You know, they got all these great food items on the menu, great drinks as well. And come on down for Down and Derby happy hour tomorrow from 3 to 6:30. Join us at Bar West for Southern-inspired happy hour, complete with themed cocktails and plenty of charms celebrating the Kentucky Derby. It's time to go around the National Football League with NFL hits off-season on The Fan.
Every off-season rumor, every free agent on the move, and the drama surrounding the upcoming NFL draft. It's NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
So I really found this article interesting this morning by Eric Williams, NFL reporter for Fox Sports, ranking the 10 players and coaches under the most pressure entering the 2025 NFL season. And we'll start with number 10 because I just completely agree with this one, Stubb. Who do you think I'm going to name in terms of quarterbacks on the move playing for a new team this season that are under a lot of pressure?
Geno Smith.
Yes.
Sam Darnold.
That's the answer I was looking for. The number 3 overall selection in the 2018 NFL draft, as best season as a pro 6 years later last year in 2024, as he led to the Vikings to an incredible 14-3 record. Now, things didn't end well for Darnold, and the Vikings chose to move on from him. He signed a massive 3-year contract, $100.5 million with the Seattle Seahawks. Well, then they got rid of his best player, in DK Metcalf, so you knew that they were going to have to draft a wide receiver. But I wonder how much of Darnold's success last year was Justin Jefferson. I mean, Justin Jefferson's the best wide receiver in football, or up there in the top three if you don't have him as the best. How much did that play into Sam Darnold having success with the Vikings? Plus, their defense was giving up the least amount of points of any team in the National Football League. He's under a ton of pressure. I think you could argue the head coach of the Seahawks, Mike McDaniel, is under some pressure too, or McDonald. But I totally agree with them at number 10, Sam Darnold. He's under a massive amount of pressure after he went 14 games to go to Seattle. And if he doesn't win 10, they're going to be probably looking for his replacement, even though they signed him to that massive contract. It's a terrible situation if you're a Seahawks fan, because Darnold does feel like he's under a lot of pressure. I don't agree with number 9 on this list, Marvin Harrison Jr. I understand he was selected number 4 of last year, and you know there were other receivers who probably had better first years. Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. But I still think this kid's going to be a star, and I thought we saw some pop towards the end of the season there. I don't think he's under that much pressure. I think Kyler Murray's actually under more pressure than Marvin Harrison Jr.
I'm going to agree with you there. Yeah, well, obviously the standouts were Nabers and BTJ, where like Roma Dunze and Marvin Harrison weren't crazy. They weren't bad either. They were playing meaningful snaps. They were scoring touchdowns. It's not nothing.
Yeah, it's not nothing. 8, J.J. McCarthy with the Vikings, and I don't agree with that there. I would say Coach Kevin O'Connell or the GM is under more pressure after you let Sam Darnold walk. And you're just going to believe in McCarthy, who's coming off of a massive injury. They flirted with Aaron Rodgers, right? I think they flirted with Jameis Winston and another quarterback or two, but ultimately decided the guy we drafted last year will get his opportunity. He's going to have to hit the ground running, and that's what I'm worried about for McCarthy is I would just bet almost all the money in the world Minnesota doesn't win 14 games again, and that's why he is under a lot of pressure. 7, Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to even name Aaron Rodgers till we find out his landing spot for the future Hall of Famer. 6, Myles Garrett, Cleveland Browns. He did sign that 4-year, $160 million extension. Why is that pressure, though, right? The Browns are under pressure. The front office is under pressure. Myles Garrett just got paid. Go have fun. So I don't agree with that one. 5, Ben Johnson, I do agree with. Now, we were talking about this earlier. Who's under more pressure this season to perform? Second-year pro, who was the number one overall draft pick and a Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams, or the young, offensive mind, Ben Johnson, who's finally getting his opportunity? I would argue it's Caleb Williams. What do you think, Stubb? I mean, Michael made a good point. Ben Johnson will always have in his resume, I made Jared Goff good.
Right.
So, and you know, Caleb doesn't have that.
You know, maybe we don't need to worry at all, and they're going to be fantastic. But I think the Chicago fans are very desperate to cling on to a quarterback. I think they really want a guy to be their guy. They're still willing to like die for Justin Fields.
Yeah.
I might say that the fan base would be quicker to turn against Ben Johnson than Caleb.
I agree. But I think Caleb is under more pressure. Because you know you were the number one overall pick, and your team had won 7 games, and then what'd they win last year? 5? So you took a step back. You know, they went from Justin Fields to Caleb Williams and lost more games. He's got to do something this year. And also, they drafted Adunze. They brought in all these receivers to give him help, and it just didn't work. 4, Puka Nacua, Los Angeles Rams. I disagree. I mean, I kind of see what they're going for here. They're saying, hey, Cooper Kupp is gone. Davante Adams here. This is your last run with Matthew Stafford. It feels like that roster's getting older, but Puka Nacua is still the young star wide receiver there. It's under some pressure, probably under pressure just to stay healthy and to do, kind of fill the role that Kupp filled, but also do your thing as well. Number 3, Brian Daboll, the head coach of the New York Giants. And, you know, are we going to start the season with him on our Hadid Mercer rug cleaning coach's hot seat? Should we talk about that right now? Who are the 3 coaches that you would start on the hot seat? Brian Daboll, yes,
100%.
Yes.
I need to look here.
I think, like, Tennessee kept Callahan for another year, right? Carolina kept their coach for another year.
I'm going to say Schottenheimer. I know they just picked him.
Oh, yeah.
But that's got to be a transitional head coach.
Yeah, I mean, that was a one-year see-if-it-works kind of thing with me. That was because everybody that I talked to as a Cowboys reporter said he got the job because they believe he can get Dak back to being at a Pro Bowl level. I think that's kind of ludicrous right there to think that, but that's why he got the job. I could totally see Dak flaming out and Schottenheimer Jr. flaming out as well. Is there any pressure for Dan Campbell? I'm not saying he's going to start on the Hadid Mercer rug cleaning coach's hot seat as a guy that could potentially be fired, but I think there's under pressure given the fact he lost both of his coordinators and they got blown out at home, the best season they've had in 30 years.
I think it's an interesting season for him.
Yeah.
I think there's just been so much incredible success. He's not on the hot seat. I think if we look at Miami, though.
Miami's definitely, yep.
He's definitely Mike on the hot seat. Mike is on the hot seat.
Is there a chance that Kyle Shanahan is on the hot seat if the 49ers have another awful season? I would say no, but I feel like you never know if you have back-to-back seasons where you fail to win more than seven games.
I think if you ask me my three right now, it is Dable, Schottenheimer, and McDaniel.
Yeah. Dable, Schottenheimer, McDaniel. Probably. But didn't Cleveland keep their guy, Stefanski, right? I mean,
yeah, but who knows? Who knows what happens this season with them?
Yeah, I mean, I told Bengals fans they should have fired their coach.
Yes.
So he's close to being on the hot seat as well. Phone lines are open throughout the show, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Yesterday, following the conclusion of AWOD Radio, I went out to the Diamond to see one of the top prospects in baseball, Bryce Eldridge, play for the Flying Squirrels. We sat down and had a great 15-minute conversation all about, you know, playing Little League in Vienna and how that's a big deal to the process of being drafted and his goal of making it to the show, the major leagues. Our conversation with Flying Squirrels first baseman Bryce Eldridge when we return on the Fan. Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Flying Squirrels. And joining me right now is a very special guest from the Flying Squirrels, the Giants' number one prospect by MajorLeagueBaseball.com, Bryce Eldridge. What's going on, Bryce?
What's up? I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. And, you know, I want to go back to your youth, go back to your roots here. I was told Vienna Little League is built different, that it is a massive deal.
This is the truth.
Yeah.
I won four district championships in the All-Stars there. I won three state championships. I grew up doing a lot of winning. And obviously, there was a bunch of different pieces of those teams. You know, Kyle Robinson was going through there with me, who's now in the athletics organization, and we played on that All-Star team together. And Chris Leggett, our manager, who's still coaching there and still winning. They do a great job, and it tells the whole story. You know why Madison High School is always, you know, a good program too. You got Pudge over there, and just the line, you know, going through from Little League to high school, it's consistently good. So
I mentioned to you, I'm from Fairfax Station, Virginia, so I'm sure you're familiar with that area and the baseball in that region. I wonder, do you have like a favorite baseball memory growing up from Little League or high school ball or anything like that?
Yeah, we won a good amount of state championships, you know, three, like I said, in Little League All-Stars. Those were all amazing. That was kind of the team that I discovered my love for baseball on, you know, playing for Coach Leggett and playing alongside those guys. And in high school, I got the opportunity to win two of them my sophomore year and my senior year. So, you know, a lot of good memories with those guys, and even some of those guys on the Little League teams were at the high school with me. So it was cool, you know, going up with those guys and growing up with them and continuing to win.
Wherever Bryce Eldridge goes, the champagne flows. You bring a lot of wins to your baseball team. You know, I want to know what it's like to go through the process and how you're enjoying this. Every kid grows up, they want to be in the show, want to be in the majors, but how are you enjoying, you know, the come up to get there?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. It's everything I could have dreamed of. You know, everyone always talks about, you know, the minor leagues, it's a grind, whatever, and it's just baseball. And, you know, I'm just very lucky to get to do it every day. And, you know, I love traveling. I love seeing new parts of the country, even if it's, you know, wherever, you know, Altoona, Pennsylvania, even if it's that, you know, I enjoy every second of it. And the Giants, you know, we got a lot of good guys in this organization and a lot of guys who I'll be friends with for life. So just going through it with them and, you know, I spend more time with them than I do my own family. So those guys are family to me, and just going through it with them makes it easier.
Joined by Bryce Eldridge of the Flying Squirrels, one of the top prospects coming up here through the minor leagues here in Richmond. And you're massive. Like, I'm sure people say that to you all the time, blowing me away. I've seen, of course, seen pictures, seen you play, but now in person, what are the advantages of being a tall baseball player?
There's a lot. I think we'll start off playing first. You know, I think I'm a guy that my infielders love to have over there, big target. I can get down and pick it, and there's not a lot of guys who you can throw it about 10 feet in the air and they can glove it, and I think that's just a gift. And just being able to use my long levers, you know, it creates power, and it creates, you know, hard barrels. And I think part of the thing, just to be able to try and stay consistent with that, is stay consistently short with my swing, and I've worked hard to do that. But you know, the levers take control, and I think that's where the power comes from, is the size.
Was baseball your first love in sports growing up, or were there any other sports that you really fell for?
100% baseball.
Yeah.
That was the first sport I can remember playing, and I just never felt the same playing anything else. Baseball was always my main priority since day one, and I've been blessed by God. You know, since day one, I kind of had, you know, a natural swing, and I could throw it hard from day one. I figured out how to throw the ball like pretty quick, smoothly, and it was never like that really in any other sport. So baseball's always been the love.
What team did you grow up rooting for? Were you a Nationals guy as a kid?
Yeah, big Nats fan.
Okay.
Big Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper fan. That was my idol growing up. I tried to mimic my swing after him growing up, and mimic my stance and the swing after him. And I was a young kid when he was debuting and coming up, and it was just a cool guy to look up to. Obviously, my favorite team, shares the same name, lefty hitter, righty thrower. So that was a good guy to look up to. I was a little upset when he left, and I since then have forgiven him, but that was tough.
Dude, I felt the same way, because I'm a diehard Nationals fan from Fairfax, Virginia, like yourself, and it was like, man, I can't believe Bryce left, but then we have all this success as soon as he leaves.
World Series next year.
It was cool to see him win the Home Run Derby from Nats Park, though.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, here with Bryce Eldridge from the Flying Squirrels, and home run, first game back here after the injury. What was that feeling like, man?
That was awesome. You know, obviously injuries aren't easy, and there's a lot of struggle coming back, you know, mentally and physically. It's never easy coming back, and I think just from what I've gone through since I've been hurt, and trying to work back through it and work back to getting out of Arizona and rehab and getting here and just having, you know, immediate success there, it was just definitely a confidence boost for me. And I was overwhelmed with excitement about that one. You know, I needed that, and I needed that to get going and build the confidence up. So I'm going to try and keep building off of it.
I'd love to hear that. So the rehab, what was that like? What went into that to get yourself healthy again?
Yeah, it was just time off. I did a shot into my wrist. Try and speed up the process a little bit, and it worked out. You know, I've been feeling good, and part of it was just slowly building back into how much I was swinging. You know, starting on the tee and then flips and throwing machine, whatever it is, and fielding as well. So it's just a slow build up, and you know, they like to take things slow with me, for, you know, good reason, and that's how it should be done. And you know, here I am, I'm feeling good, and they did it the right way, and just going to try and continue to stay healthy.
Joined by Bryce Eldridge from the Richmond Flying Squirrels, who are here at the Diamond this week. Come on down and check out a game. Make memories the 40th year at the Diamond. How cool is that to you, man? Here, you see CarMax Park being built next door. You grew up, you know, just 90 minutes away here. Your friends and family aren't too far to come see you play.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think we're all a part of history here. You know, once they move over there next year, it's just going to be even more special for us to have said we played here. This place is a great environment to play in. It's the best minor league environment I've played in. Every single night, these fans bring it, and, you know, they fill this place out, and it's pretty cool to play in front of. And, you know, I saw a post today, number 2 in all of minor leagues in attendance, and it doesn't surprise me. And it's cool to have that as your home stadium. And you know, we haven't been winning like we want to, but the fans are still coming out and supporting us, and that means a lot to us as the players.
Yeah, I love to hear that. I'm sure the Richmonders that are listening love to hear that. You're listening to AWOD here on Richmond's home for the Flying Squirrels, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. You had an awesome summer last year. Did you feel like you surpassed your own expectations for yourself?
100%, yeah. My goal was to get to AA going into the year, and a lot of people told me that wasn't possible and that wasn't going to happen no matter how good I played. And I think I kind of forced their hand, and you know, I ended up in AAA towards the end. And you know, here I am in AA again. But you know what? I accomplished my goals last year, and that was an awesome year. I just was lucky enough to stay healthy through it all, and I'm just super thankful for how it went. And I'm just gonna try to, you know, keep that momentum going, keep moving, you know, keep playing well, keep staying healthy, and good things will happen.
So what goals have you set for yourself this season?
I want to get up there. I want to make an impact on the big league team. That's been my goal from day one. Obviously, it's a slow process going through the minors, especially coming out of high school. So I think it's possible. I think it could be realistic, and I just got to stay healthy. That's the biggest thing. And being out in the field, being available on the field is always a good thing, and I'm just going to continue to get better this year, so that's the goal.
I know it's impossible to kind of compare sports, but you look at, like, the best NFL prospects, you look at the best basketball prospects, a lot of them, it's 1 year in college ball or whatever, and then boom, you're in the majors, or you're Jaden Daniels starting for the Commanders year one at a young age. How do you deal with that for baseball, knowing, man, it's a grind, it's a process, I gotta work, even though I was just such an amazing baseball player in high school, I gotta really work my ass off to get to that next level?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you gotta earn your way up, and everyone knows that going into it. Obviously, you see some guys going up quicker now, but yeah, I mean, that's part of it. It's a hard game, and there's levels to it. I mean, coming out of high school, I wasn't anywhere near as good as I am now, and I'm in AA now, and obviously the gap between high school and the big leagues is astronomical, and it's the same thing with college. You know, these guys are struggle out of high school. You got to deal with more struggles in baseball than any other sport, because this is the game you fail the most in, and it's just, you know, it's part of it, and that's something you sign up for. And I think everyone needs it. You know, everyone needs it to get to where they want to be in the big league level. And I think just the extra reps and, you know, getting to slowly work through progressions there is very beneficial for the players.
I love that mindset. I think it's the correct one to have, and I'll be rooting for you for sure. You know, you were such a star in high school, and my buddy who went to a few of your games called you a unicorn. I mean, just unbelievable at first base, at the plate. You can hit, you could also pitch as well. Two-way prospect in high school, so what went into the decision to become, hey, I'm going to be a full-time hitter now?
Yeah, so I think going into the draft, that was something I really wanted to do was two-way, and the way things played out after I got picked, I wasn't going to pitch in 23 on that end of that quarter season that I played in. So I got my at-bats in, and you know, I think the at-bats went really well, and the Giants liked what they saw. I was continuing to work on pitching in the offseason going into 24, but you know, come to spring training, and the plan's to hit. And I think just solely focusing on hitting has brought me so much further along my progressions and getting better there. So that's something that the biggest thing for me, you know, is getting to the big leagues as soon as I can. And I think hitting, you know, solely was going to be that route. And obviously I would have loved to see how the pitching would have went, but you know, getting up there and having an impact on the big league team as quick as I can is what's most important to me.
Do you think you're behind that? Do you want to still be a pitcher? What would your ceiling be if you went full-time into both hitting and pitching?
You mean like if I still did both or if I just pitched?
Yeah.
I think I still could have had a high ceiling there. I mean, I think, you know, just the frame that I have, I think, you know, the velo that I was already able to do, and I wasn't nearly as good as I could have been mechanically, or you know, just having a good routine or strength wise or whatever. So I think I could have just kept developing there. It would have been tough in the professional ball, you know, obviously playing every day, just doing defense and hitting, you know, my body gets tired. So it would have been a lot on the body, and I would have been interested to see like what the Giants would have had planned for it. But you know, here we are, and you know, I have no complaints with where I'm at now.
What was the process like for you of getting drafted?
It was a lot. You know, there's there was a lot of summer ball, a lot of, you know, the missing out on my friends, you know, beach trips in the summer and missing out on all that. I think the biggest thing for me was my junior year going into my senior year, playing on Team USA and getting on that team was the best thing that could have happened to me. That was where I really kind of took off with the bat and, you know, my arm as well. And I think that's when I kind of got on everyone's radars of, all right, this guy is something that, you know, we could look for to get early in the draft. And, you know, going into high school, you know, I kept that same mentality I had, just continue to earn my way in into those conversations. And there's just a lot of meetings, a lot of workouts I did before, you know, just with, you know, particular scouts or for teams or whatever. And a lot of scouts at high school games. And that was just awesome for me. And being able to, you know, handle that is, you know, I give credit to James Triantos. You know, I was a sophomore who no one really who knew who I was when he was a senior getting, you know, scouted. And I was able to play in front of those guys with no pressure. And I think that kind of helped me going into my senior year when those guys were there, is just to have that same mindset that those guys aren't there. You know, you're playing for your team and you're playing to win with your team, not playing for the scouts.
Some of your meetings with managers and hitting coaches, what would you say separates yourself from other prospects?
I just think the ability to hit for average and power. Just approach-wise, you know, being able, you know, to hit, you know, 290s last year and have good power numbers. I can do it all. You know, I'm going to be a strikeout guy. Obviously, we try to limit those, and we got better towards the end of the year, but I'm going to take my walks too, and I'm going to get on base. And I think a lot of guys my size, you know, they're one-trick ponies, and they hit home runs, and you know, they don't walk much and they don't hit for much average, and I can do that. So I think that's what separates me. And you know, just having a consistent, you know, short swing, it's easy to get long with, you know, these long arms and the size, but I think that's something I really try to hammer on, is just staying short to the ball and being good at that.
Well, keep it up, man. Best of luck. I really appreciate you taking the time. Lastly here, you mentioned earlier, the squirrels are such a big deal here in Richmond. People come in, the attendance, the new stadium next year. How cool is it to play here for the Flying Squirrels, man?
It's awesome. Obviously, the home state, the fan base, it's all amazing. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, really. Obviously, the goal is Oracle and in San Francisco. But, you know, minor league baseball, it doesn't get better than this. And we just, you know, as players, we have a lot of respect for the fans bringing it and showing out for us every night. So, Richmond, thank you. Thank you for the support. And, yeah, go Squirrels.
Thank you, Bryce.
Yeah, of course.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, thanks to Trey Wilson and Parney from the Flying Squirrels for setting up that interview with Bryce Eldridge. That was just a really great conversation, and I'm rooting for that kid, you know, in the future. I mean, he wants to be the next Bryce Harper. He could be the next Gunnar Henderson stub, and he's playing right here now for the Flying Squirrels of the San Francisco Giants double A affiliate. So you can see him this weekend. He just had an RBI single in the bottom of the first. He's 6'8". I mean, he is a massive human being. And it's also really cool that, like, he played pitcher, and he still believes he could be a pitcher in the major leagues. I mean, I wonder if he has another successful season, he makes it up to the AAA level again, and then next year maybe San Francisco has him start in the bigs. If he has success, do they say, hey, now that you're up here and you're hitting at a consistent level, why don't we try throwing again? I mean, at one point, he was supposed to be the next Shohei Ohtani of baseball in Fairfax, Virginia. And so I wonder if he'll ever get an opportunity to pitch again and at the major league level. Wanted to go around the NFL, specifically here with Washington. We call that the Commander's Corner here on AWOD Radio. And there's been all this talk about, did Washington do enough this offseason at edge rusher? And most of the answers from the fan base, the insiders, are no. And I'll probably agree with you. No, they didn't do enough. But also, I think that Dante Fowler Jr.'s 10.5 sacks were more of a product of the schemes that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt's defense ran than him being a stud. I mean, you look at his previous season, 4 sacks. The year before that, 5 sacks. The year before that, 3 sacks. He went off 1 year in L.A. when, oh yeah, Aaron Donald's in the middle of the field, and he had 11.5 sacks. But his 10.5 sacks last year were the second most of his career. And a guy like Dietrich Wise has had 5.5 sacks consistently over the last few seasons. With this scheme, could he make a major jump? Could it be Frankie Louvu? Could it be Cleveland Farrell or Dorrance Armstrong? Like, I think the argument that they didn't do enough at the edge rusher position because they let Dante Fowler go is bogus. Dante Fowler's not Von Miller. He's not Trey Hendrickson. He's not Myles Garrett. He was a good fit in our scheme going after the quarterback, but he was actually also awful defending the run, and that was seen in the first play of the game of the conference championship game against Saquon Barkley and the Philadelphia Eagles. So you lose the sacks, but it's also, I think, kind of going to be addition by subtraction in terms of stopping the run, because he just was not good at setting the edge. And it's not just me saying that. It was everybody that covered the Commanders this season. J.P. Finley from our sister station, 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., had 3-time Super Bowl champion Charles Mann on the show, and they asked him about his edge rusher needs for the Washington Commanders. And, of course, Charles Mann was one of our best edge rushers during the era that was when this team was winning all the championships in the 80s and the early 90s. It was Dexter Manley on one side, Charles Mann on the other, Man and Manley. And here's what Man had to say. Adam Peters is very savvy. I don't think it's over just because somebody wasn't drafted. There will be veterans released. There could be trades. Peters isn't done. And I don't overlook what's already in the building. And Stubb, you were the one that said this yesterday. You're expecting a Noah Brown-like signing at the edge rusher position this upcoming training camp for Washington, right?
Like a solid enough one that shocks us a little bit that they got dropped. We pick him up. He does good enough.
Yeah, and that could be Za'Darius Smith. It could be Von Miller. Some of these guys that are actually free agents right now, if they continue to be free agents, I really think that, you know, edge rusher is a premium position, and I do expect Washington next year to either address it in free agency or the draft by going out and overpaying for somebody or overdrafting somebody. But this year, I think it's going to be sack by committee, kind of like how it was wide receiver by committee. I mean, I was up in arms last year, and I said the wide receiver room was pathetic to enter the season. I really felt that way with Jahan Dotson and De'Ami Brown and Terry McLaurin not even being a true number one because everybody said he never gets the touchdowns that a true number one gets. Well, that kind of proved me wrong throughout the season because he did develop into a true number one with a star quarterback, and he broke the franchise record for touchdowns. And Noah Brown became a competent number two, and I hadn't heard much about Olamide Zaccheaus, the product of Virginia, but he ended up being a solid slot receiver and gadget piece for Washington. And so, yeah, receiver by committee did work last year with Noah Brown coming on strong and then De'Ami Brown finishing the season strong. And so this year, maybe that's not wide receiver, but it's edge rusher that is sacks by committee. They're going to have depth at that position because Cleland Farrell and Dorrance Armstrong have guys behind them like Javon Kinlaw and Dietrich Wise. They have Javante Jean-Baptiste, who they drafted previously, who they still have a lot of faith in and believe in him. And I thought he flashed at times in a Commander's uniform when he's been healthy. So in terms of edge rusher, I don't think that Adam Peters is neglecting it. I don't think Adam Peters is stupid. I don't think Adam Peters thinks that they're not good enough at that position. He came out and he told people before the draft, what we've done in free agency, we feel like we filled out our roster. And then, like we've talked about, a good general manager uses the draft to sprinkle in some extra talent and some competition. And instead of reaching for an edge rusher, like I really think they were going to get an edge in round one, and then there was a run. And then it was maybe we'll get Malachi Starks, then he goes two picks before us to Baltimore, and they transition to the best left tackle that was on their board. All right? Then the second round, there was that big run on edge, and it even included Green going to Baltimore right before Washington. And so they say, all right, well, Trey Amos was a first-round pick in a lot of mocks. We'll take him. And then in the fourth round, there was the massive run on edge with four in a row right before Washington. And so they go, all right, instead of reaching for an edge, we'll take best player available, which was Jalen Lane. And I think that's kind of been the Adam Peters move. If you look at the last few years, the last two NFL drafts, outside of the Jaden Daniels obvious pick at number two overall, all right? Johnny Newton, best player available type thing. That he, if he wasn't dealing with that injury, would have been a first-round talent. Mikey Sainristil still, best player available after you traded back. You know, that's the way he goes about this draft every year, and that's the way you build a good NFL franchise, is you don't reach for picks just because that is a position of need. You take best player available, you gather the best talent possible, and then you adjust from there to make sure that you have every hole filled. But I think Adam Peters has done a great job this offseason, and I do think that offensively and defensively, the roster is built to win 10-plus games. An underrated signing just a few days ago, Matt Gay at kicker. You now have solved that issue that was an issue at times last season. As much as Austin Siebert won us a game with 7 field goals and Zane Gonzalez doinked us into the second round, right? Kicker was just, nobody had confidence in them to make a 50-yard field goal or even a 45-yard field goal. Now you solve that. I think the special teams issue with not having a strong punt returner and a kick returner will hopefully be solved with Jalen Lane. So I think outside of edge rusher, they've answered every question that's been asked. And in terms of edge rusher, Adam Peters believes he has the answers currently on the roster. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.